When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
The BMW i4 M50. It's 100% electric and 100% BMW. Experience the power of over 500 horses stampeding at a whisper as BMW M-engineered handling takes you through every twist and turn. The complete suite of intuitive technology keeps you connected. The pure performance keeps your heart racing. The BMW i4 M50. Silence has never said so much. BMW, the ultimate electric driving machine.
This is Conversations with Olivia Jade, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Conversations. Today's guest, if you're familiar with the ABC franchise, I think you'll definitely know who she is. She's been on Dancing with the Stars. She's been on The Bachelor. She's hosted The Bachelorette. She's really involved herself in the whole space. And I'm so curious from just like the little things to like where she started and how she got here. And I think probably a lot of you are curious as well if you're a fan. So I'm very excited to have Caitlin Bristow on the podcast today. And I really hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, look how cute your background is.
Well, yeah, it's wallpaper and a neon sign. And it's my little like ladies lounge, I call it.
I love that. That's so cute. Well, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Your hair looks great, that color.
Thank you so much. I just dyed it and I don't know what came over me.
It suits you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really like it.
Did you just get back from the tour? Did it just end?
It ended at the end of March.
Okay, so you've been done for a second.
Yeah, it feels like it was just ended yesterday, but I'm also like brain fog is so real for me right now because I was in Mexico. And when you get back from vacation, everybody always says you need a vacation from a vacation because for it was sure. That kind of vacation. So don't mind my brain fog today.
No worries at all. Well, you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself today? We have Caitlin Bristow on the podcast. I'm so excited and we can just jump right into it. But for those maybe who don't know you.
Yeah.
Where you come from, everything.
I come from a teeny tiny little town in Alberta called Leduc in Canada. And I grew up there. I wanted to be a dancer my whole life. That's what my mom was, a professional ballerina. I wanted to follow in her footsteps. I had this whole dream of being a dancer. I moved to Vancouver, Canada to be a part of a dance company. It didn't work out for me. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm going to pick up my stuff and move with my boyfriend, who was a hockey player, very Canadian of me. Mm-hmm. And we moved kind of all over the place. And I ended up completely losing myself and was just a shell of myself because I was living somebody else's life. And my girlfriend was like, you need to go on The Bachelor. Because we broke up, obviously.
Right.
She goes, you need to go on The Bachelor. And I was like, do they even pick Canadians? Like, can Canadians go on that show? And she was like, yeah, they always pick Canadians. And so she filled out all the information for me, kind of sent in my application, and they ended up calling me a year later. So I was on season 19 of The Bachelor, and then I became season 11 Bachelorette. And then from there, I went on to start my podcast Off the Vine, and I started a wine label called Spade and Sparrows. And I have a hair accessory line called Do Edit. And then I ended up winning Dancing with the Stars.
Period. That is boss woman in a nutshell. It's actually so crazy to think, though, because something like The Bachelor has presented so many opportunities and like completely changed your life. And you're one of like the OGs, I would say, because I feel like now the show is so different.
Yes.
And just like, because I remember watching, like I was always an avid fan of the show with my mom. I'd like I'd force her to watch it with me. And I was like way too young to probably even understand what was going on. But I remember your season. And then I remember a few seasons after. And then obviously with like the rise of social media, I feel like it changed so much.
Yes.
But I have so many questions about like me just being a super fan, but like really like the old school kind of Bachelor vibe, because I feel like now maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like now it's turned into like sometimes people go on for maybe hoping like for this world that some have created after. And I think like when you guys all went on it, that was like a genuine, like it was a dating show. It really was.
Yes, it was so genuine. I mean, I knew that you could make a name for yourself. Like I knew some people went on to like, you know, hosting gigs like on E! News or whatever, if, you know, if that was, they chose to go that route, but social media was not what it is today. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely went on being like, if I fall in love, that's great. If I build something from it, that's also great. But social media was not, you know, the way of the world. You couldn't build a business or a platform the way you can now. You couldn't make money off of it. It wasn't like a thing where I went on to the show and I was like, I'm going to get a bunch of Instagram followers. Right. Like that thought never crossed my mind. And it, I feel like it was on my season where social media really kind of started to blow up with people following people from the show. So it was a wild experience.
Did you feel like when you were off the show, just such a big like switch in your world of like walking down the street and having people know you now? And was that like kind of weird to adjust?
It was and it wasn't. I don't know why my parents and my sister and everyone always was like, Caitlin, you were cut out for this lifestyle. Like, so when like my whole life, I thought I was going to be maybe like a backup dancer or do movies or TV with dancing. Like I thought I was going to do something. So when this happened, my whole family was kind of like, yeah, of course you went on The Bachelor. That's so something you would do.
That's hilarious.
And so when it happened, of course, it was not normal to walk down the street and have people recognize me. But it was just like the transition was so weird because I turned from like an extrovert into an introvert. And I think that was the weirdest transition for me because I was so outgoing. I was always out. I was always talking to everybody, making new friends, and everyone would have been like, Caitlin's the biggest extrovert. And then when I came off the show, it was almost like I enjoyed my personal time and my personal space and I didn't trust anybody. Mm. And it was more like that's what changed for me.
I actually relate to that a lot as well. Obviously, I wasn't on The Bachelor, but I do feel like when like certain parts of life and certain aspects get like a little bit more public, it completely like made me go the opposite.
Yeah.
And just want to like keep everything super private and not have like that judgment or whatever it is. It's like, I think it can even be like subconscious sometimes, at least.
Oh, for sure. I didn't even realize I was doing that. Like, a lot of my close friends, we actually had this whole debate one time with Jason, my fiance, was like, oh, Caitlin's such an introvert. And then it was with all of my friends who've known me for so long. And they're like, she's not, she's actually an extrovert, but this situation has made her go inwards. Like, and we had this whole debate about it because I would have thought after I came off of a TV show, I would have loved like meeting new people and being like, oh my God, let's like take a photo. Yeah. I thought I would be like so comfortable with that.
Right.
But weirdly, I went inward and obviously you can understand that.
Yeah, totally. And then you were The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
How was that experience? Dating like so many guys at once and having to like choose?
Yes. It feels so wrong because you would never do that in the outside world, but you really have to compartmentalize like, okay, this is not the outside world. This is a TV show. So you've got to make TV and you've got to make good TV. But you also are trying to find love and that is a real thing. And it was, you know, I went my whole life not knowing how, you know, I've never been on a reality TV show before. I've never experienced television. So it was, I went on to The Bachelor like pretty naive and, you know, didn't understand that producers had to make a TV show. Whereas when I was The Bachelorette, I was like, okay, like let's make some good TV and let's fall in love. And that was like the most dangerous combination because I ended up, you know, hurting so many people's feelings and losing people's trust and constantly disappointing everybody. And then just ended up being so hard on myself, because the thing that I hate the most in life is disappointing people I care about. And that's what I felt like I just constantly was doing while people were judging me for it. But looking back now, I mean, it's been so many years that I would have said, like, it was hell. It was really honestly hell for me to go through that, but I would do it all over again. And I just think, like, it's like you said earlier, it's gotten me so many opportunities, and I feel like I'm just able to live the life that I'm like, I love doing podcasting. I love having a wine label, and I wouldn't have had that without the show. So years later, I'm able to look back at it with like,
see the positives. Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. I know. But I feel like also that's not really your fault. You did have, like, literally you had to date all the different guys. So,
I mean, that's the format of the show. Yeah. I had no, I mean, no, it was choice. Fun for the first, it was fun for the first like few weeks. Cause you know, you've got a bunch of good looking dudes and they're all like, oh my God, Caitlin. And they put you on this pedestal. Right, and then after a while you're like, oh shit, this gets really real.
Yeah. Then you actually start to like feel for these people. And like, even if it's not like in an in love way, you're like, well, I still care and I don't want to hurt you. Cause I'm the same way. I like hate disappointing people. I think I've hurt anybody's feelings, I'm like so messed up over it. I feel so bad. So I cannot imagine doing that.
Yes.
But like, big props to you. And then after Bachelorette, time has gone on. Living life, you end up hosting the double Bachelorette season, right?
Yes, that was so wild. Yes.
How was that? Was that weird? And how did that come about? And then, like, not why you, because you're amazing, but did you stay connected with the franchise to that when obviously Chris Harrison had to leave? Like, I'm just so curious about how that came about.
I still am kind of curious about how that all played out, because I keep thinking like, well, how did I get, like, what turn did I take in life that I was, you know, taking over a role that was such an important role and and one that had been, you know, the role that has been filled for so long by the same consistent person who was so good at his job and everyone knew he was the face of the franchise. And so it was interesting because I did keep in touch with so many people from, you know, the show producers or certain people I had like bad blood with because I felt manipulated. But, you know, we all, after time and healing, you can come around and see that they were just doing their jobs. But so I kept in touch with certain people. And then I kind of was like, I felt like maybe even a bit blacklisted from the show after for a while, because I was so bitter and I'm a very like honest person who speaks my mind about everything. And I probably said a little too much and they were like, well, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Like, we'll show you, kind of thing.
Right.
And so it was a bit of like
a shock,
like butting heads for a little while after that. But I think after, you know, after I broke up with my past relationship from the show, I realized how much of a platform that was for me to live a life that I wanted to live, and then kind of got back in the good books. And I was so shocked because when they called me to do that, I was like, is it a hosting role? And they're like, we're not really sure what it's going to look like. Like, they're kind of trying to figure it out as time goes on too. So they were like, it's kind of like a mentor role. You and Tayshia would kind of go in and, you know, help with the Bachelorette and talk her through some things that only a handful of people that could do, you know, women having conversations that they couldn't have with Chris Harrison, but it's more of a mentor role, not host. And then we got there and we were doing the show and I'm like, well, this is definitely hosting. Like, we were doing the final, here's the final rose, and going in for the certain parts and like tinking the glass to be like, okay, giving out the first impression. No, I watched.
You were hosting. You were hosting, exactly. For sure.
So then the next season I was like, okay, we're hosting. So then I got it in my head that like we could potentially be hosts of the show. And I thought it made so much sense because if I had a woman that was helping me there that had been in my shoes before, that would have, well, I mean, it might've changed everything. So maybe it wasn't a good idea, but I feel like it just would have helped mentally so much more to have someone empower you and validate your insecurities and everything that you're going through. So, I just kind of had now put my head in the space of like, oh, maybe I could potentially host this. So I was a little sad when they didn't go with us again for Bachelorette, but I get having a consistent host and makes
Well, it could have been you guys, so what the heck, but...
Yeah, I agree. What the heck?
No, but that's amazing. You guys did a really great job on that.
Thank you.
I'll stop about The Bachelor now because you have so many other things.
That's okay.
I just super fan.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We obviously both did Dancing with the Stars. You won, yes. Dancing with the Stars, which is so exciting. And I feel like a lot of people, unless you've been on the show, and I was talking about this recently with somebody who was at a dinner with me, and we had like started talking randomly, and she was like, I did Dancing with the Stars, and it like randomly came up, and I was like, people don't understand how tiring that show is and how much work goes into it, and you fucking won it.
It is literally the definition of blood, sweat, and tears. Like, you put everything into it mentally, physically, emotionally. It's so draining and so much work and so many hours of your day. Like, people really don't know until they're, unless they've been on the show, like how much work you put into it. And I just remember, like, in the last 3 weeks of it, I was like, send me home. I can't do this anymore. But, you know, I would be like, but then I'd get on the dance floor and be like, I can't go home.
I know.
But like, my ribs were injured. My ankle was injured. I was just like in pain the whole time. And I just like had that mentality of like, you just got to get through another day. And then the next day came and you just got to get through another day. But yeah. And you did so great on the show. You were one of our favorites.
You're so sweet. Thank you. I was so nervous because I've never danced before. So I was like, I don't know if this show, if this could be, this could do the exact opposite. I want people to like see my like personality, but like, what if I just come across and it's so embarrassing and I can't dance? But I honestly had so much fun doing it that it like made it worth it
that way.
But you know what's funny too? I remember, like, you know how they make you do those interviews after, like, every probably like twice a week or something, where you go in and then you sit there for hours and then you leave and then you go back to practice or whatever it was. I missed one of them one time. My agent's calling me like, where are you? They're all like, they have to leave, whatever. And I just remember like sobbing on my bed. I was so stressed. I was like, no, I can't do it. Like, I'm tired.
I know.
And it's brutal.
It really is. It really is a brutal process that's obviously like you get so much out of it. And then when it's just finished and then you go home, you're like, it was such a whirlwind and it changes your whole life and perspective. Crazy. And you like feel like you've accomplished so much and then it just ends so abruptly. And then you're like, what just happened? And then
literally
you
what think just
you
happened?
Could never do something like that again. But then you miss, you know, your partner and everybody around and the Monday nights. It's so
Who
fun.
Who are you partners with again?
Artem.
Artem, right. He's so lovely. And then when you were going on tour, were you like hesitant at all? Or was it just like 100% I'm down?
Zero hesitation. That's awesome. Because of my passion for dance my whole life, I was like, if you told me I was going to tour on a tour bus dancing with professionals, like in different cities on a bus, I was like, this is a dream come true. So zero hesitation. I was like, sign me up. I'll do the whole tour.
How was the tour? Because you got to be with like Amon and Amanda and some people from my season who I adore. Also, how funny is Amon?
He's one of my favorite people I've ever come across in my whole life. Just the happiest, funniest, most chill, laid back, coolest. Like so we ended up bonding so much because we were always backstage, like not in all of the dances. So we would learn the choreography together backstage and like do hilarious versions of the show. But yeah, it was so fun being on tour. I truly thought it would be way harder than it was. I thought, you know, being away, on a bus, sleeping on a bus every night, trying to podcast and run my businesses while being on the road. Like it was hard, of course, don't get me wrong, but I loved every second of it so much because I got along so well with everybody and there was no drama and it was just surprisingly like easy and fun. And we just like bonded. It felt like family. And I miss the bus nights so much, not the sleeping part, but like the bonding game nights, drinking wine, all those kinds of things.
Yeah. That sounds, I feel like also with, at least with my season, and I'm sure it's similar to you as well. Like you get so close with everybody on the show at the time, just cause like everybody feels like they really understand what each one is going through. And like, I feel so lucky with the people I had on my season. Cause I'm like, some were like close in age with me. And then some were just like such great mentors to have around. And then we had like Melora, who was like mom figure to me. And then like Amon, who I would like just hang with most of my time. And then I had Jojo, who was like little sister, adorable, fun to be around. So
You did have a good season of people. Yeah. I remember being like, oh, that looks like fun. And everybody, like, what's crazy is it's so competitive, but everybody's also rooting for each other because, you know, like you said, what you're going through. And so it's such a unique atmosphere because I'm the most competitive person going. Like I need to check myself even in my relationship sometimes because I'm so competitive.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was so interesting because I was like, wow, I'm really like rooting for the people that are up against me.
I know.
And it's because you just understand what you're going through and it becomes a family. But I will say our season was so different from any other one because ours was right like
COVID,
and we couldn't even hang out with each other. Like it was nuts.
Yeah. I think we were supposed to not hang out with one another and they would like try and be strict. But I think also by that time it was kind of like a free for all.
Totally.
So it kind of worked out. But when you were on tour, was it hard being away from obviously like Jason? And I saw you have two dogs.
Yes. Oh my gosh. They're adorable. Right at my feet right now. It was really hard to be away from them, but this is not really a good thing, but I was prepped for it because of filming back-to-back Bachelorette seasons and from being Dancing with the Stars. Like we were kind of in this mentality that we're like, oh, we get to miss each other. And we'll like, you know, but that being said, it was actually really hard and we were supposed to be planning a wedding. And when I came back, he was gone on a book tour and we've kind of been like, gosh, we need to reconnect because we want to plan this wedding. And we are so disconnected from being apart and being so busy that now that, I mean, he's coming home tonight from New York and we're like, let's just like sit down and talk because we just have not been able to do that. So
and that's also like so hard, I feel like, in a relationship too, because it's so much about like spending that quality time and like keeping the romance alive.
Yeah, no, that went out the window for us because we were just both so busy and then realized how important that quality time is and needing to make up for lost time. Because when we got back, it was like, wait, like, what have you been doing? And what's going, like, he would come to, you know, a couple cities, but it's just, it's really hard. Relationships are hard in general. And when you're doing long distance and both have your own careers and trying to plan a wedding, like it's, relationships are so hard.
Totally. And he was a part of Bachelor franchise as well. Yeah.
Yes.
But he was on somebody else's season before.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. Yeah.
So he was on Becca Kufrin's season.
Right. I remember that.
Yes. And it was so funny because, of course, I had this 3.5 year engagement from the show. Right. And that is pretty like crazy for, you know, if, usually at that point, people will stay together because it's been 3.5 years. Right. And usually you'd know by that point. But so when we broke up, I was like, never again will I date somebody in the Bachelor franchise. Like, I didn't even want to date anyone that was like, had anything to do with social media or wanted a platform.
Some normal dude.
I was like, I thought it was so hot. If people didn't have Instagram, I was like, oh, hot. And then I interviewed him on my podcast and I was like, well, shit.
He's cute.
Yeah.
That's how you guys really connected nice. Was an interview?
Yeah. Yeah. I went out to Seattle to visit a friend. And I was like, who's in Seattle that I could interview from like Bachelor franchise? And there was a couple people and Jason was one of them. And so I rented a studio and he came to the studio and that's when we met, was through the podcast.
Oh, that's so cute. And you got to be in person, which is nice. Obviously I was going to say You did this over Zoom and you knew that's wild.
No, it was pre-pandemic when things were normal.
So that's how you guys met. And then was it instant, like you guys posting and just like announcing you're together? Was it like the secret, let's run around a little bit, figure it out?
I'm such an open book and he's a little bit more on the secretive side. So that was tricky because I also was dealing with the outside world thinking I was moving on too fast because they thought I just jumped from like an engagement with Sean to this relationship with Jason, when really my relationship with Sean had been struggling for so long. And then you don't expect, you know, You find people when you least expect it. And that's definitely what happened. But we were like, kind of just like got to a point where people would take photos of us or see us or We were out and we were just like, why are we hiding anything? It wasn't like an instant connection when we met because I was going through a hard time. Like I was still sad.
Right.
Wasn't looking, but he walked out of the podcast. So I've told the story a million times, but of course you don't know this. So he walked out of my podcast, called his mom, and he was like, I just met my future wife. And I walked out of the podcast and I was like, they need to make that guy the Bachelor.
Stop.
And just like my brain was not in that, you know, zone to feel anything towards him. So we just like, we kind of were like, I friend zoned him so hard. Like he would be like, gosh, you're such a bro. And I was just such a bro with him for so long to the point where we talked all the time and then it just kind of turned into what it is.
I feel like those are the best ones too, though, when you actually like get to know somebody slowly without it being like, okay, like, let's just see what happens or whatever it is. Like that's,
it was the
best way to do it. At least in like past relationships I've been in when I date somebody, like after like a week of knowing them, I'm like, this is not going to work.
Yeah. That's usually like the falling in lust when it just happens all too fast. Yeah. And then it ends in disaster. I've been there too.
For sure. Okay. So wedding plans.
Yes. None.
Do you want to do it in LA, like destination, back home?
We want to do it in Nashville. We don't have a date. We've reached out to 3 different venues and we are trying to pick a date because that's what you do. That's usually the next step. And we have a wedding planner. But again, it's just like, we need to like get back on the same page because we have not done anything. And it's like, of course that's what people want to know. And of course we want to have answers when people ask us how wedding planning is going, but it's so hard when we're in the positions that we're in. Even with the wedding planner, I thought it would be easy breezy because we signed a wedding planner and I thought he would just be like, okay, do this. Here's this. This is going to go here. You're going to do this. But it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
And I want, that's something Jason and I need to really sit down.
Maybe when he's back from New York.
Yeah. That's what we said. Like, but that's so funny because we're like, oh, we'll do it in Mexico. We're, you know, in Tulum. It's such a vibe so there. We can like sit down and, you know, do some stuff. No, we had an itinerary from our friend. It was back to back, like his birthday, going out, doing this. And then I got back we got back, he goes to New York and we're like, this is just
chaos.
We got to really make this happen.
Yeah. I feel like that probably takes so much work. And I also feel like it's hard too, because maybe this is just like stereotypical of me to say, but I feel like for like women are normally the ones that are like really trying to plan it. Not trying to plan it, but like maybe more responsible and on our shit. And so we'll be like, we got to get this done.
That's exactly right. But Jason's that one in the relationship.
Oh,
I'm not on, I'm not a planner. Like I'm actually terrible at planning things or just anything. Like I get overwhelmed so easily, but Jason's usually the one that's a little bit more of the planner. And I think I kind of relied on that, where he was relying on the wedding planner and then I was relying on the two of them, and it just got like lost. But yeah, women are usually, you know, we are multitaskers to the maximum and boss. Usually can handle it all and know how we want things done.
Well, also you're handling like 20 other different things and I want to talk about them. So your podcast, can you tell them a little bit about it and what it's about?
Yes, it's my favorite thing that, I mean, no, wine is too. I love doing a podcast because I just love connecting with people. And like, I always say, you never have like a real authentic conversation with people anymore where there's no phones, where you're just in the zone for 1 hour talking about things that are important or feelings, or, you know, feeling like you can laugh or cry or just have the safe place where other people can relate to. So I started the podcast, gosh, this is like 5 years ago now. I feel like I should look into that. It's either 4 or 5 years. I think it was 5 years ago I started.
Oh, so you were kind of starting like before this was a thing.
Yeah, I remember being like, what is this all about? Like, what is the podcast? I always, when I was little, wanted a radio show. That was like another secret little dream of mine. And I'd interview my family and I'd have this like, I'd always love being on a microphone and asking people questions. And so when podcasting, I was like, what an interesting time to get into podcasting. Like, I think this is going to be a thing. And so I started it. It's called Off the Vine. And basically everyone who knows me knows I just love a glass of wine. I love socializing with like close friends or having nice conversation over a glass of wine. I spill like not tea, like it's not gossipy. It's like I'll tell embarrassing stories about anything. Like just, people are like, why do you share so much information? And I'm like, it's just who I am.
Just open and honest. I love that.
Yeah. So it's basically, I'll have guests on, anyone from like reality TV or influencers or country music artists, because I live in Nashville. I've had a lot of them on. And we basically just have a glass of wine or not. If it's 10 in the morning, I'm not going to make them drink.
5 o'clock somewhere.
And have real conversation about like, either hardships or how they got to where they are in their career, and like how they've learned lessons in life from going through heartbreak, or, you know, and pretty, I mean, of course, promoting whatever they have going on. It's usually just 45 minutes to an hour of just real conversation. And I make my guests always confess something to me. So usually there's an embarrassing story in there or a game we play. Funny. And it's basically, I just like people walking away from the podcast being like, whoa, I just escaped for 45 minutes and like can't stop smiling or like feeling like, I like to empower women to just be so authentic to themselves and go after what they want to go after.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so fun.
That's amazing. Because I feel like for me, I started my podcast kind of recently and I'm still like very much trying to figure it out.
Oh, well, you're doing great, by the way.
Thanks. You're really easy to talk to. So it's not like challenging. but I also want to...
No, you're doing great.
Yeah, I also want to just like get a little bit more comfortable with it, I think, still, because it can just be like so awkward, I feel like, for me at least. And then I'm always afraid of saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, you got to let that go though, because do you mean to the guest or like for people to hear?
Well, if I say the wrong thing to the guest, I'm pretty quick to clear it up. Like,
yeah,
it's fine. But I'm more afraid of like everything I say getting like picked up somewhere, and then like just one sentence of what I say is like in the news, and then everybody's like, this girl.
You kind of gotta surrender to that. You gotta surrender to that, because it's gonna happen regardless, and that'll get more people to listen to your podcast. And it sucks. Like, there's so many times where I see a headline from the podcast, or like somebody's upset with me because from my podcast it's been a headline, and I'm like, I have no control over that. And
I know,
if anything, like that'll make And a lot of people do. It sucks because a lot of people just read headlines or just see something. They don't read the full article or listen to the whole podcast. So you kind of just got to like brace yourself, because those things will happen. But also you'll like connect with so many great people and you'll work out the kinks, and you'll like you'll find your groove where you're just like, you're already really, and I'm not just saying this, like you're natural at asking questions and like transitioning into the next one. Thanks. So I feel like you're going to be good.
Thank you so much.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of transitioning, wine company. I'm obsessed with wine as well. How did you start that?
Oh my gosh. Well, what kind of wine do you drink?
I drink red wine. I mean, I like all wine. Like if I'm in the day or like by a pool or something, I'm probably going to have like white wine or rosé. But at night, I probably am going to be drinking red.
That's the exact same as
me. Or a glass of tequila.
Same. Tequila and wine are like my jam.
Yeah.
I'm a little tequila'd out from Mexico, but I'm sure. Not really. But not really.
Give yourself like 48 hours, you'll be back.
Yeah. The wine was actually way harder than I thought it was going to be, because I think from coming off the show and getting opportunities or brand deals, like some of them will just, you know, come to you and they'll, you know, you don't have to prove yourself. You just put your name on something and hopefully you believe in it. I've turned down so much money, and I hate saying that out loud because it sounds so stupid and cocky, but I've turned down so much money just to like align myself with the right products or things that I actually believe in. And so from doing that, I was like, gosh, it makes so much sense for me to start my own wine label. I don't want to slap my name on somebody else's wine. And like, I want to put in the work and I want it to be mine. And I thought it would be easier, but I luckily have a really incredible team. I have two business partners that have really helped with like the logistics of things. But I got to go out to Napa. I got to try so many different wines and create the one I want, like different percentages of like a Cab Franc or like a Cab. I actually got to like measure and put in make my own what I love to drink. And so that was a really fun process, even though I didn't use the spit bucket and I got way too drunk the first night. And
I would do the same.
Yeah. I was like so hammered and I was like, I love it. This is the wine. And then the next day we got all excited. We opened it to have it with dinner. And I was like, this is disgusting. I was drunk.
You were just like wasted and thought anything at that point would have been like, yeah.
So I had to start all over. But yeah, it's really hard because in that industry, you do have to prove yourself, especially as it's a man's world, the wine 100%. Industry.
I feel like the alcohol business is just really
you're right.
Dominated
it,
by
it
men.
Is. Yeah. And there's like a slogan in the wine world that like make the wine for men and the women will follow, something like that. And I was like, ew. And so I wanted to I wanted to just flip that on its head and come up with this like boss ass, like feminine wine brand that, you know, guys will enjoy drinking, yeah, women will enjoy drinking, anyone can enjoy it. And, but like without the rules, like, I don't care if you pair it with a, you know, fillet or whatever, like pair it with chips. I don't care. I just want it to be like not snobby and really fun. And, I had to really prove myself in that industry because there's been a lot of celebrity wines, quote unquote, that have not worked. So I've worked really hard at it and it's, I love it. It's actually the wine I like choose to drink at night. It's not just like me being like, yeah, it's
as
good.
It should be. That's amazing. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to send you some.
Yes. I would love some. Where is it being sold?
So you can get it at spadeandsparrows.com.
Cool.
There's a lot of, like in California, it's in over 175 Walmarts.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. We're working really hard to get it in Targets right now. Some states has it in retail. A lot of places in Canada have it in retail, but overall, you can buy it online, which is, it's tough because online, obviously you have to pay for shipping. So I always encourage people. I'm like, don't just buy one bottle. Are you going to pay the same amount of, you know, for the shipping that it is for one bottle? You buy six bottles or 12, wine only gets better. And then you only pay the $20 for shipping.
Yeah, there you go. That's actually, that makes perfect logic. True or false? If your wine label gets in to Target, is it true that you're going to get a Target tattoo?
True. How could they say no? I will literally be a walking brand of Target. I just am like
the
like
red dot on the forehead.
I mean, maybe not so much on, I'm so spontaneous with stuff like this. Like I just went today. It's actually hurting so bad. I just got this pierced right here.
It hurts so bad. See, like I really want more piercings because all mine on my ears closed up, but I'm like, I can't like the sleeping on my head. And I know
I sleep like this.
Okay. See, I sleep on my side and I can't do it any other way. And I think also that's like not great for you anyway, but that's like why I'm hesitant to get piercings. Cause I like think about my sleep.
Hey, that's fair enough. Nobody likes their sleep like Caitlin Bristow. I love sleep. I need 9 hours to function in my day, but I'm very like, I'm just spontaneous with tattoos. Like,
do you have tattoos?
Yeah, yeah, I've got a spade and then I've got sparrows on the back of my arms.
Oh, cute. So it all aligns with like what you're passionate about and your business names and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always a story behind everything. And then I have like teardrops. Look at this. Teardrops. So I go.
Oh, that's so cute.
I just have a bunch of random tattoos everywhere. And like in Mexico, not this trip, but the one before, I had too much tequila. I got a diamond tattooed on me. Like, I don't even. Well, then I was like, oh, look, diamonds are a girl's best friend. That's the song I won the Mirrorball to.
Oh, okay. That has meaning. Yeah. That counts.
So it all makes sense. So yeah, with the Target, if my wine gets into Target, I was like, I will 1000% get like a dainty little like Target circle, like black and white or something. Like I'm not going to do a big red stamp. Right. So no, I would though, if they got it in, I would be so proud.
Like I'll do anything.
Walmart's like, what the hell? Why haven't you got a Walmart tattoo?
It's so funny. This is such a random, this actually has nothing to do with wine, but it has something to do with Target. I remember when I was young and my dad had a clothing line that was in Target. I think like before Target was really like, it was like I was really young and I remember always walking like through Target and seeing his name. And it's such a bizarre name that I never really understood. Like I would be like, it's so weird. My dad's name is like all in the store. Like what's going on? This is so funny. And then like when I got older, they were like, that was his clothing line.
What was your dad's clothing line?
Mossimo.
What?
Yeah. But
that's
I never
your
knew
dad's
that.
Clothing line?
Yeah. His name's Mossimo.
I did not know that. Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't that funny? But I remember like seeing that and being like, this is really bizarre that this name's in Target. Like, what are the odds somebody else's name is Mossimo? Just had no idea.
That's so funny. You found that bizarre. But weren't you like, my mom is on Full House? Like, wasn't that a crazy thing?
I also didn't understand that. Well, I feel like my mom always really, like, I still have no idea if Full House was a big show or not. I'm so confused.
What?
Yeah, because, I kind of know now a little bit, but it was just because when Fuller House came out, I was on YouTube. I had, like, started my YouTube channel and I was, like, really into, like, I knew, like, all the little behind the scenes of, like, how many views and how quick views are. And if it's up for 2 hours and it has over 200,000 views, that's, like, really great or whatever it was.
Right.
And so when the Fuller House trailer came out, I was older. And I saw how many views it was getting. And I like remember going into my mom's room and being like, was Full House a big show? Like, why does this have like over like 14 million views in a day? Like, I don't understand.
Oh my gosh, I love how humble your mom was. I would have been like, I am Auntie Becky. No, like, that was my life. Like, my growing up every day, that was my favorite show ever. And I still watch it just to like feel like nostalgic.
Yeah, like I've seen a few episodes as I've grown up a little bit. I remember when I was young, I was like, I don't want to watch my mom kiss John Stamos, which is just so dumb.
That's amazing.
So I was like really weird about it. But I feel like she genuinely believes like it was like a not that crazy of a show because she what? Or she's just like extremely humble. I have no idea.
She must be, because that was like, if you ask me, that was like the biggest show. That was, everyone watched Full House, and it was like back when everyone watched cable, like nobody was on YouTube or Netflix right. or anything. Like, that was the show.
OG for sure.
Oh yeah,
way back in the day. But yeah, that's why I dyed my hair red.
Yeah, I love it. I was like, it's cute and it makes sense.
I was like, I have no idea, I've never dyed my hair before, and if I'm gonna change the color, maybe I'll change it to like somebody in my family that had similar hair when they were my age.
It makes sense. We'll see. It adds up.
I'm not going to keep you for too long and take up all your time, even though I could literally talk to you for hours. But what's upcoming? Anything you have next plan that you want to share?
I always drop new edits for my hair accessory line. So it's called Do Edit, DEWEDIT. And that's on Instagram. And we do so many fun drops. So we do usually one in like spring, summer, fall, winter. And we just did a bachelorette party one where it's like all neon, and we did veils and like really fun bachelorette party stuff. And then the next one, I'm not even allowed, or I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but whatever. It's going to be like a full bridal edit. So,
cute.
I usually just do fun things that I have going on. And then like, we're going to do a pride one, and love we just it. Are always doing something new with it, which is so much fun. And then truly, I want everyone to be in my wine club, because you can be in the wine club and get a certain amount of bottles, and you end up getting free shipping if you're in the wine club.
I'll join your wine club. Do I just sign up online?
I'm sending you the wine. But you should be our guest on the next wine club. We do Zoom parties all the time, like every 3 months, and people come in, and if they, you know, are in the wine club, they get to come hang out and do Zooms, and we make either cocktails or we have a special guest on and play games. It's so fun. So yeah, I hope to just, you know, do that, and hope wedding planning is going to, next time I talk to you, hopefully I have way more to say than that.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You're a gem. And you're doing so much. And I know like people listening are going to feel really inspired by this, because I feel like sometimes as a woman, it's overwhelming and it's scary to like put yourself in so many different fields. And you are just a perfect example of doing it and crushing it. So congrats on everything.
My favorite motto is do it scared. You can want to do anything and be scared, but like, do it scared. So what if you're scared? So what if you fail? So what if it doesn't work? Just do it scared. And thank you so much for having me on. You are also a gem. And I thought maybe you had this podcast for a while, because you're doing really great.
Thank you so much. You're the best. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for having me.
You too. Bye, babe.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley,
and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.